Welcome to Platter Chatter, a sizzling platter podcast designed specifically for you, the general manager. No doubt, the most important team member in our company. Without you, we may as well close our doors and call it a day. Being the general manager of a fast food restaurant is a noble profession. It's a profession you can be proud of, a profession that demands many skills which are unique to the fast food industry. It's not for everybody, but if it gets in your blood with all of its ups and downs, you don't want to get it out. I'm your host, Ron Sanchez, and each week I interview your peers, discovering what they have learned over the years in the fascinating business of fast food. Our hope is that with each episode, you will learn some things that you can immediately put into practice in your own store. This week's guest is Heidi Lucas, a general manager at one of our Little Caesars in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and a respected leader among her peers. During the course of our time together, I asked Heidi how she got introduced to the restaurant business.
My mom had a bakery.
Okay.
I was born in Juarez. They took me to Plainview, Texas when I was 12. And my mom opened a bakery there. And so I used to work after school. After I was in high school, I used to work at the bakery. The name of the bakery was La Spiga de Oro. So we used to make to sell bread and food, and it was like a little restaurant where you would go buy bread, and you know, so I used to go after school and work for a few hours to 8 o'clock till we close, and on the weekends I used to go and help them make bread like at 4 in the morning. So I've been in the restaurant business since I was a little girl.
Heidi wasn't looking for a career in fast food when she started. She kind of fell into it. What started as a part-time job working the broiler at Burger King turned out to be an offer to have her own store. Heidi was a general manager at Burger King for 7 years before being recruited by Whataburger, a burger chain out of Texas, where she ran the highest volume store in Albuquerque, employing 60 team members, 5 assistants, and 10 team leaders. She was making very good money, but learn that contentment in your job isn't always connected to the amount of money you make.
And money is like a sweet, really, really sweet hook in your mouth. It's killing you, but it's so sweet you don't want to take it out. No matter how bad it is for you, you know, that's how I felt it was for me. Like, that job was so stressful. They took me, that one time they took me from the store to the hospital because they thought I was having a stroke. And the paramedics literally put me in a gurney and took me because they thought I was having a stroke. That's how stressed out you are with those kind of operations. But it was a lot of money. My family hated it. My mom, my husband, my kids, they hated it because I was always at the store. And because it's a 24-hour operation, you're always working. There was a time where I did a 36-hour shift because something happened to my manager, and then we had a meeting the next morning, and 36 hours straight working. And over there, you're a GM. You're a GM all the time, not right. When you're just there. 24-hour operation at 2nd and Menal. That was 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I had to work. GMs were supposed to work 5 to 3 in the mornings 2 days a week. And I would leave the store 3:30 in the morning, and they were like, Heidi, came back. There's a fight in the lobby. So I had to go back. You know, you have to always be available. You never have a good night's sleep because they're 24-hour operation. Something always can happen, and they gotta call somebody, and you're it. They're not gonna call your area manager. So you always have to answer your phone.
Heidi worked as a Whataburger general manager for 5 years before being recruited by Sizzling Platter in June of 2016. She started working as a general manager for Little Caesars. Though she continues to receive offers from other companies, she chooses to stay at Sizzling Platter because it is such a good company to work for.
This is the easiest GM job that you're gonna find. I've worked for 24 hours. I work for hours where you have to be at work at 5 in the morning and leave at 1 o'clock in the morning, and you know, I work for franchises, I work for corporations, I work, and by far, Sizzling Platter, it's a good company. It's a great company.
Heidi is one of the best at producing managers. Stores in the Albuquerque market consistently benefit from the abundance of managers in her store. Managers who are eager to become assistants and general managers in their own right. Our recruiting for management starts with the interview of our team members. There are a lot of people who would say, "There's no way I'm going to work in fast food." We must dispel that notion. There are huge benefits to working in fast food, especially for young people and first-time jobbers.
This is not one of the jobs that if you can come to work on Sundays because you go to church with your family, this is not one of those jobs that you have to choose between what you love to do and your job. Your job, it's a form of income. And it's not what you love to do. I said, but I do want my employees to wanna come to work, to be happy when they come to work. And I tell them when I hire them, when I interview them, I tell them, I like my people happy when they come to work. Now, why? Because happy people are more productive. I want them to wanna come to work. That's why we don't have assistant problems at 510, because they wanna come to work. They have fun. And they work very well because they're having fun while they're working. They work as a team. You've seen my team.
Sure.
And it's very rarely, almost non-existent, when my people call it. This is not one of those jobs where you have to choose between, you know, like I understand them, you know. I wanna go to the movies with my friends. If you make a kid, say a 17-year-old kid, that all of a sudden his parents decided to have a surprise party for the brother, and you make him come to work, like today, Ariana, she texted me, "Oh, my brother's going out of town. My family decided to have a surprise party. Can I please take the day off?" I said, "Okay, no problem." Why? Because I'm not going to make her choose between her family and her brother that he's leaving out of town and being at work. And I told her, "Don't worry about it. I'll cover it. It's cool." And I said, and then, because if I make her come to work, she's not going to do a good job. She's going to be thinking about her family getting together. And then she's going to resent the job because I made her miss those good times with her family. So you gotta identify what's important. You know what I mean? You gotta identify, do I really want to force a 16-year-old kid, first job, or 17, or even a 20 or a 30, 40, it doesn't matter, to choose between their interest and their job? You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You wanna be able to meet their needs and have them be productive at work. So I tell them when I hire them. I tell them this is not one of those jobs that if you work a full time job and you have finals coming up and you need to take 4 days, a week extra to finish your school. I said this is not where you have to choose between going on vacation with your family and your job.
We mustn't underestimate how a schedule can affect morale. It takes time to create a good schedule, but it is time well invested.
Hours are based on performance. And it's not something that it's a philosophy. It's our business. Because the hours have nothing to do with how I like the person. There's employees that I had conversations that are hard conversations, and that every GM at one point or another has to have them with the employees. If an employee is not performing and you've trained them and changed them positions and still train them and they're still not performing, you have to have those conversations.
We must also seek every opportunity to train, to calibrate rather than criticize. To that end, Heidi created what she calls a discussion planner, a proactive way to encourage team members. I asked Heidi to explain what a discussion planner is.
Okay, the discussion planner is, it's more to create awareness. Because you don't wanna just write people up. When you write an employee, it demoralizes them. You don't want to just be giving them a write-up. I mean, you tell them, you do that, I'm going to give you a write-up. But you just tell them. You don't actually, like me, I don't have the time to do write-up. I say I'm going to give them a write-up, but for me to give a write-up is because they're really not doing their job. It's more, but once you have to take the time out of your schedule to do a discussion planner, or it's to give them the opportunity to, because for all you know, that employee might not be aware of it, you know, that they're not doing a good job, or that they have some opportunities. They might not be aware of it. So you want to create awareness.
When I was a young boy, my stepfather used to say, "Do as I say, not as I do." Even at that young age, it didn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense to your team members either.
You set the example to your employees. I say, you need to make sure that you're shorts tucked in, that you're shaved, that you have a belt, that you're clean uniform, because you cannot tell an employee, hey, you don't have a belt if you yourself are not wearing a belt. I said, you cannot expect them. It's not do like I say, not like I do.
Right.
It's you lead them by the way you lead. So I explain to them what it's like. I explain the culture. I tell them this is a job, you know? And I think that's where we lack a lot of our training, is like when people interview people, they're not clear on what their job is gonna do. They're not clear that hours are based on performance. They're not clear that, yeah, the job gets stressful and people are gonna raise their voice at you. And a lot of the times when you don't explain that, especially a 16-year-old is gonna take, and I've had it happen to me at 5'10". Even though I did explain, you know, I had a kid, and I tell this to every single person I interview. I tell them, if you're the kind of person that you don't like people raising the voice at you, this is not the job for you, because it gets stressful and somebody's going to be screaming, "Where's my pepperoni? Where's me?" You know, it's the job.
I thought it appropriate to close our interview by finding out what it is Heidi enjoys so much about working in the fast food industry. And she quickly responded that it was all about the people.
The people. I've had so many 16-year-old kids that worked for me, that I've seen them later on. They've gone to the army, they're married with their kids, some of them are pharmacists, some of them are, I don't know any doctors. I have one that was a priest. You know, that they when they see me, I see so many people around that they'll see me in the street and they'll be like, "Heidi, how are you?" And I have no clue who they are. They remember me. People that I fired, they come and give me a hug, and I'll call like other people from, like one time I was a Jack in the Box, the one in Alameda. Me and Bassie were working at Whataburger, and so we were eating, and the manager comes out and gives me a hug. "Come on, Heidi, how are you?" And then I'm like, "Oh, I'm good." And then the guy is like, "Oh, I gotta go back to work." I was like, "All right, good to see you, la la." And then my friend Bassie goes, "You don't know who he is, huh?" I was like, "I have no clue." And so I call Jesus Romero, who used to work with us back then, and I say, "Hey, there's this kid that looks like this. What? Who? Heidi, you fired him, remember? Because he didn't want to clean the lobby." I was like, oh, okay. Now I know who he is. But you know,
thanks for listening to this week's episode of Platter Chatter. I hope you learned something new today, or at the very least, are encouraged to know that you are doing a whole lot of things right and that you are in good company. And don't forget, as you lead your team, they won't care about what you know until they know how much you care about them. Join us next week as we consider the impact our food presentation has on our customers, as I interview Laura Elliott in an episode I've entitled The Artist.